Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
It's Bud Pod 231.
231. You be dumb, baby. You be dumb not to listen to Bud Pod every week.
Yes, that's right. I quite like the asymmetric appearance of 231.
Oh, asymmetric.
What do I mean asymmetric? It's so close to 1-2-3 or 3-2-1.
Oh, I see. Yeah, it's just 1-2-3, just knocked a bit out of order. It's so nearly right.
It's so nearly our old friend 1-2-3, or our slightly more stressful friend 3-2-1.
Oh, much more stressful. 1-2-3. That's a number from our youth. We've known 1-2-3 the longest.
Mm.
First sequence of numbers you ever learn in life. 1-2-3.
Yeah,
3-2-1. Your first sports day? Maybe first time you hear it.
Yeah, it's leading up to some sort of little explosion or beginning. Whereas 1-2-3
terrifying
is all in pastel colors.
1-2-3 is all about potential. It's all about building. It's all about things can only get better. 3-2-1. Now something terrible is kind of coming.
Yeah, someone's about to pop a balloon.
Pierre, yesterday I was in St. Albans.
Yeah.
Beautiful St. Albans. Having lunch with our friend Emerald. And at the table next to us, we're in this beautiful garden. A Thai restaurant there has a back garden.
Ooh.
You sit in the garden and you look out on St. Albans Cathedral. Lovely town, St. Albans. And a man and his son got up and said hi. And the man said, I'm a big Pianovelli fan.
And did you say, and no, I'm son, the other one?
And I said, yeah, no, it's not. That's not me. I said, you idiot. And I threw my drink on him. And his son, who is an adult man.
Oh, I see.
A nice adult man named Max. Shout out to Max. He's a pod bud.
Oh.
So I had lunch next to a pod bud and his dad. Pod dad.
Pod bud and pod dad. Oh, that's great.
That was on Sunday.
So wait, was the dad a fan of mine without being a pod bud?
Yes. He was a big fan of the Frank Skinner radio show.
Ah, see, now those are the two generations. There's the Frank Skinner radio show generation and then the bud pod generation. There is a divide.
It was your demographic pincer movement in action.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Frank Skinner from the upper ages, bud for the lower ages, and you're pincering your audience together from either end.
Yes, that's right. Whether they're between 25 and 35 or between 35 and 50.
You're herding them like sheep. From either end into the middle.
Yeah, I wonder if...
Come by, you say.
Yeah, exactly. Do you think either of us will ever have youth appeal, or are we just appealing to people who are sort of 21 and up from now on, frozen forever?
Will I ever have youth appeal? Sometimes I meet very young fans, like kids, and their parents will come up and say, Lil Timmy loves you.
Yeah.
Or Lil Timmy loves you on Taskmaster. And I'm always surprised when very young kids like me. I'm like...
We got to remember we're meeting the fucking massive comedy nerds of their generation. We're meeting ourselves in that moment.
I guess. I mean, thank God for them, because it means we've got an audience in 20 years' time. Hopefully.
If those people make enough friends at uni or in sixth form when people start to like smart stuff and then recommend our stuff, then maybe, yeah. That's our only hope, is these... Dorky little Obi-Wans, you're our only hope. Because I remember, I've always loved comedy, and I remember the transition around GCSEs where suddenly the guys in my year started to realize that comedy was good or funny and that there was loads of it and that I knew, I was like the comedy version of someone who knows a lot of music. I could recommend music.
Right, yeah, yeah, you were a comedy DJ.
I was a comedy DJ, but up to that point, I was just spinning a tracks. Fucking loser nerd who liked this weird thing yeah. too much.
Right, yeah, I got into comedy really, well, and I really loved comedy shows as a kid and stuff, but stand-up, I just discovered stand-up on YouTube when I was 16,
yeah.
and I just became obsessed with that specific form of comedy. And of course, I watched Simpsons every day for my entire life.
Yes.
Recently watched a great couple episodes of Simpsons. You know, on Channel 4, is it? On the Saturday morning or whatever? It's like 5 episodes of Simpsons back-to-back or something.
Is it? Still?
Yeah, and then there's 2 really good episodes, and then 1 episode, and Pierre, the quality of the illustration was really high.
Oh, no!
It was really crisp.
No.
It was really modern drawings.
Oh, no!
And of course...
There were shadows. Like, oh, no. There were shadows under the eyelids.
Yeah, there's so much detail and deep rich colors. Well, not deep rich colors, but like crisp computerized yeah. colors. And I thought, oh no, it's a really new episode. And it was just weird. And
did
bad.
It suck?
Yeah, it wasn't good. It wasn't good, man.
Well,
they just act so weird in those new episodes.
What flavor of bad was it?
Just constants of non sequiturs and.
Yeah.
Sort of unfinished jokes and a lot of like visual set pieces. In this episode, they just had to use up a lot of petrol because they need to keep buying petrol on the chance they'd win something for buying 10 gallons of petrol.
Right.
And so there's a sequence of Homer driving around in the car and just like, okay, having the car up on concrete blocks and just riding out the engine, just trying to spend petrol and just all these different ideas on how to waste petrol. And it wasn't... It's like after the first few, you're like, yeah, I get it.
It was just like a big list.
They're trying to waste petrol. Yeah, it was. It was a listicle. And it just didn't really work.
Yeah.
But of course, the golden rule with Simpsons is you want the quality of animation to be good, but not too good.
Yeah.
You don't need that weird, ratty, Bart looks ill... first couple of seasons.
No, when Homer talks like this. There's a kind of horribleness to his
upsetting,
voice.
Really upsetting.
No, you don't want that.
But also you don't want fucking Disney Plus crisp Pixar level new
It's
animation.
So funny that there's a type of animation where you can look at it and it looks great and you just go, oh, this is gonna suck. This is gonna suck. It looks nice. It's gonna suck. Are you saying that The Simpsons is like an Asian, an East Asian restaurant?
Right.
The more effort they've put into the aesthetic, the worse it's going to be.
I was in such a restaurant in Chinatown last night. I won't give its name away because it was fine, but they sold buns mainly,
uh-huh.
and like steamed buns and stuff. And beautiful aesthetic. They had that old kind of like swoopy Chinese wood thing. With the backlit, you know, the very sort of nice backlit Chinese sign that they put in, like a Chinese themed speakeasy or whatever.
Yes.
And it's got a Chinese symbol right next to the English translation in sort of low key, lowercase writing and all that kind of chic cool vibe. And each bun had a beautiful red pressing of the Chinese character of what was in the bun. So if it was pork, it had the Chinese character for pork on top and beautiful. And the food was kind of fine. And the waiters were broadly not Chinese.
Oh, no.
Which is not a necessity, but it's rare you go to a Chinese restaurant and all the staff are not Chinese and it tastes amazing. It's
a bad sign. It's like when you see a guy who's got a car that's like a red car, but one of the doors is white. It doesn't mean he's a bad driver, but...
Yeah, you'll still get to the destination, but it won't feel right.
It just feels more likely that something's not going to be great. It's funny, isn't it? It's a business goes like, we're going to put so much effort into getting a kind of edible red stamp.
Yes.
That we're going to kind of phone it in with what we're actually stamping.
Yeah, but I think they're just aware, I guess... value comes in pillars, right? And you've got aesthetic value and sort of food quality value. And as long as one pillar is high enough, you'll guarantee a certain amount of custom.
I guess a restaurant where the value pillar of aesthetic is at 100 and all the others are at sort of zero is like one of those only for Instagram, like solid gold steak bullshit restaurants, right?
Yeah.
That would be a restaurant where they go, people are still coming here to eat this like cold food, bad food. But it's because it looks amazing and it's got like celebrities and maybe it's somehow for money laundering at a high level.
And it's got the aesthetic and the location where an influencer will do a sort of sweep on it on their Instagram video and go like, this place in London serves tacos right over St. Paul's.
Yeah, exactly.
And like it's a beautiful view and then a single shot of taco and you have the taco and it's like it's from Tesco.
It's like doughy, yeah. But like on the way in, a former heavyweight boxing champion greeted you. And you think, this can't be kosher. This can't be right. Yeah, that's it. Is there a stand-up equivalent to all aesthetic, no quality?
of course.
Is that possible?
You knew there was an answer that as you asked the question. You knew there were many answers. I think it is harder. To be fair, I think comedy is about as meritocratic as an entertainment form, an entertainment industry can be. It's very hard. Because for the fundamental effect that is required to qualify, can't be faked. You can't fake laughing at something. You can't really fake finding something funny.
Yeah, you can't. Even people who are very biased in favor of who's on stage can only fake laugh for so long.
Yes. Yeah. So I think it is pretty meritocratic, but as ever, our old friend Halo Effect can help you. If someone's hot enough or charismatic enough or has the right stage presence or the right amount of confidence, they can patch over some pretty ropey jokes.
Yes.
For sure. I worry sometimes that I'm too well dressed and sexy.
Do you?
And that I distract from my jokes.
Because you can,
and that people can't even hear it. They just hear a white noise.
Because you can just see people on the front row rubbing their thighs together and squirming with lust.
Yeah, that's it. And it's and I have to dress down like I'm in Prince and the Pauper or something. You know, and it's a shame. It's a shame, but you do what you must.
I think you have to. I won't say who, but someone that we both know once got, at least for a period, extremely muscly arms, and he had to cover his muscly arms on stage because it was too distracting. Not in a sexy way, but because it made him seem like a kind of alpha male.
Right. Oh yes. It's hard. It's hard to take self-deprecating humor from a. An absolute beef.
Yeah, from someone who looks like someone who looks like when they go to the beach and flex their biceps, women in bikinis just appear and start hanging off them.
Like in an old poster.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, or like whenever they turn up at the beach, they're just in everyone's head, it starts going, just like kind of sexy 50s, like surfer jock, like. Yeah, so this person that we know had to start wearing long sleeve things or hoodies to seem less absolutely shredded and muscly and cool and sexy because the material was like, oh, what is it like, eh? Life. And everyone was like, well, our lives are not like yours. You're just presumably you just wonder about getting compliments and free money.
Actually, in St. Albans, the dad, Max's
oh,
dad.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't catch his name.
Shout out to Max and his mysterious father.
He said I was looking quite buff.
Oh.
But he took that away by saying, not like when you're on Taskmaster. Huh, that was the wrong outfit for then, wasn't it?
Oh no.
And I was like, oh.
Are you saying I've lost weight on my dick and balls?
I think he probably meant the tightness on the rest of my body during that time. But it's funny because when I was in the studio, I feel like that was my slimmest ever. I feel like that was me. That was my slay era. I was slaying so hard in Taskmaster.
But then, like, there's nothing so merciless as a skin-tight one-piece outfit.
It's true. It's true. But I am looking broadly. The other day, Jamali Maddox said I had broad shoulders.
Hey!
It made my day.
I think, and
shout out to Jamali Maddox, nicest man in the industry.
Very nice man. Always got a nice thing to say and always very zen.
Always keeps a watch on everyone's shoulders. That's what I like about Jamali. He's always keeping track of people's shoulders.
He's on shoulder watch. 24/7.
Yeah. I'm just flexing right now. Pierre can see, but no one else.
I can kind of see, but you're too close to the camera for me to assess. But you're a big guy, which is what people are always surprised by. Partially because maybe you don't, there's nothing to compare you with on stage. Partially because they slightly unfairly presume that because you're part East Asian, you're going to be short.
I mean, that's almost entirely it, I think. I think people always picture East Asian guys as smaller.
Yeah, whereas you are 6'2".
I like to say 6'1", 6'2" after Pilates. But I'm sort of between that. Those.
Yeah.
A weird thing that annoys me, and it shouldn't annoy me, but it does annoy me. I always say I'm 6'1", and people will go, "No, you're 6'2". Because I'm tall. I'm 6'2". I swear, I don't know why this happens all the time.
You keep meeting
a tall girl, go, "I'm 6'2". You're 6'2". And I'm like, "I'm not, man. I think I know my own height. I'm 6'1". And I think what it is they don't want to admit that or accept that they are actually 6'1".
Yeah, or they're not wearing shoes or something, and they're going, no, I have shoe height. I think I'm shrinking because of my shitty back. I think I'm becoming decrepit.
Are you getting a hunch?
I think I'm getting a kind of weird hunch now, yeah. I think I'm going to become all curved over like Mr. Burns.
Have you been losing inches?
I don't know. I feel more stooped.
It happens, man. My grandfather was a very tall man on my mom's side, very tall man. And, you know, he really, the stoop can really take a lot. It can take feet off you by the end.
Yeah. I saw a lady the other day coming out of the tube, and she looked like the L Tetris piece.
Whoa.
Fully bent in half.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I remember I once saw a lady walking across Edgware Road who was so old and sort of hunched that she was literally looking at the ground as she
this
walked.
Is it. That's what this lady
and
was
she
doing.
Just walked out into the road, and this is like an A road that goes, it's Edgware Road. Yeah. It's really busy. And it was, I think I was walking past her. I don't know if I told this story, but I was walking past her, and I sort of, my mind just noted old lady bending over, walking past you. And then it took like 2 seconds for me to compute that she was walking in an odd direction. Because I'd never seen anyone walk in that direction. I realized I'd never seen anyone walk in that direction because she was literally walking perpendicular to this very busy big road.
With no crossing.
Which you can't cross. Yeah, you can't. There's no crossing. And like just as I realized, I turned around and a guy came running out of the shop and like had to run in front of her and like with his hand stop cars because they were just coming. She was literally looking at the ground.
Walking across. My God.
Yeah. No one almost took her out.
What would you have done if she got hit by a car and just immediately went crack and was like standing upright and that was what she needed?
Doing cartwheels and bouncing up and down.
Like Willy Wonka, yeah. She did a forwards roll and then sprang up healthier than ever.
Everyone like, wow, dropping the stuff and running into the road. All these cars. It's a miracle. Everyone's like jumping up with this perfect posture.
Yeah, everyone just kind of like, this was the secret to good health all along. Letting ourselves get tapped a little bit, just like a vaccine, just a little bit of getting hit by a car.
It's called chiropractic. Is it always called chiropractic?
It's got to be called
chiropraction.
Chiropractic.
Chiropractic.
Is it real?
Chiropractors. London's gone chiropractic crazy.
Is chiropracting real?
Oh, God, I got to look this up.
Yeah, it's going to bug me as well.
Chiro.
Surely, practi.
Chiropractic. I think it's chiropathy. Chiropathy. Chiropathy, apparently.
That doesn't sound right.
I don't like that at all.
No.
Chirotherapy? I hate this.
Maybe chirotherapy again. Is it real? Is it real?
I've had my car cracked. I've had my back cracked a few times when I had really bad low back pain. It helps for 2 hours and then it's bad again. I don't know how real it is, man. It's weird how we don't know anything about the back.
We suck at medicine and we've been doing it for so long. And we still We still don't know so much about so many basic things like the back. I just remember in that Two and a Half Men, a sitcom that looking back is like a hellish and strange, a sort of mad fever dream that it even existed. The loser dad was a chiropractor.
Ah, what a dweeb.
Yeah, and they were constantly being like, oh, it's not real, it doesn't exist. And
oh, really?
Yeah,
huh.
That was like a joke that they would say to him to annoy his character, yeah. So... What can I say, Phil? The chilling sitcom Two and a Half Men removed my faith in chiropractic. What can I say?
Chiropractors hate this one weird sitcom.
Doesn't it seem weird, though, looking back, that there could be a sitcom where it was just two, in their own way, quite sinister men and an unsettling boy, and that was basically it?
That's the golden age of sitcoms, man. Back when half men were half men.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of men, I don't know how. I mean, this is a while back now, but it's mad considering the tone of this podcast. We've not brought up the Prigozhin plane thing.
Did we not?
No, never.
It was so. It's verging on slapstick. The inevitability with which it happened, where it was like.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it, but at the same time, it was so obvious that it had happened. It's like, wow, he did it. He finally did it.
It's kind of like when something big happens in a show, like a big spectacle happens in a show, and you're like, wow, okay, he actually did it. But also you're like, this doesn't surprise me in a story context.
Yeah. He finally got sick of that guy and executed him in Game of Thrones. You go, yeah.
It's like, yeah, exactly. It's like the battle episode of Game of Thrones. You go, oh, right, okay, so they actually did do it.
Yeah.
But we all knew this was coming.
Yeah, and you're only interested like, oh, how did he do it in the end?
Yeah.
Of the sort of four methods, yeah. I can't believe the entire Wagner High Command were just on a plane, just chilling, just having little fucking tiny Diet Cokes. It's such a bad idea to put them all on one plane.
Do you think they got a discount or something?
It's like
a very suspicious discount.
Yeah. Wow, the sandwiches on this plane are only £7. Hey, this is too good to be true. And then it blew up.
Oh, man. Well, I mean, we sound very out of date bringing it up, but I just felt like a real... oversight from the War Boys.
From the War Boys, that's
true.
Comedian
Helen Bauer,
well,
character.
Well, look, Phil, the other bomb that went off in midair that we haven't discussed is that person who shat a plane back to the ground.
Of course. This is an even more Bud Pod story.
Yeah.
A plane in America. Where was it flying from? Like Chicago to Paris or something?
Was it like Atlanta to Paris or something weird? Or?
That's right. Atlanta to Paris.
What
a
flight.
Turn around, but... 2 hours in, because someone had such bad diarrhea, they had it across the whole plane, throughout the plane. They shat all over the floor.
Yeah.
And then you can hear the call to radio control, to air control is like, we have a biohazard situation.
Yeah. I guess it is a biohazard.
Imagine shitting a plane out of the sky.
The bum that brought down a plane. Anti-aircraft bum.
At terror at 30,000
feet.
There
was a semi-disclosure that it was a lady.
A twist in the tale.
Well, so I said to you, I think, I certainly said to some people at the time, it's got to be someone in shorts or a lady, because trousers would have. Trousers would not allow
saved.
For this kind of 100-meter trail of shit or whatever.
That's it. You look at the trail and you go, what, were they already undressed? Running to the toilet.
Yeah, exactly.
Were they already naked, running through the plane, going, please, 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 let me through, let me through, let me through.
I think, yeah, exactly. So must have been much more easy access than trousers. It just looked like an enormous, one of those machines they use to paint highway lines, had just been filled with shit and driven down the middle of a plane.
Can you imagine, like, how do you even cover your face for that flight back to the airport? How do you even, do you just stay in the toilet? Do you knock on the pilot's cabin and say, can I come in? Can I sit with you guys? Because
yeah,
that's what
yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
I just be...
Well, you mean if you were
to be locked into a cabinet?
If you were the shitter?
Yeah, I'd be pulling at the door handles. Let me out! Like, while we're still in the air. Let me out! cross-check, or whatever it is you have to do. I heard the announcement. What does it do? Unlock and cross-check. Whatever it is, let me out!
As you ran down the aisle shitting, you're trapped in here with me! What if you cobbled together a sort of chainmail balaclava from loads of the eye masks?
A chainmail balaclava. Okay, so you tie up all the...
You just,
oh, from the sleep masks.
Yeah, all the eye masks on the plane.
Ah.
So, like, I say chainmail right, as in, like, face. They'd be, like, layered, right? Like, down your face, like lamellar armor on a samurai.
Mm.
Like roof tiles.
Yes. Okay. A shame veil.
Yes, a shame veil made of sleeping masks. It would only take, what, 4 to sufficiently obscure your identity.
Yeah. What would you do? How would you... Is that how you'd handle it? You just sit there and just like just perfectly still in your chair with a bunch of face masks?
I don't know. I mean...
Looking like the Invisible Man with his bandages.
Do you think if that person had just shat their seat, the flight would have had to turn around? I think maybe they'd have figured it out.
I think they'd have wiped it up and cleaned it up and try and just said, don't let anyone know about it.
I think they'd have moved a bunch of the people.
And I'll give you another Diet Coke.
Yeah, within the effect radius, they would have bumped them up to first class and they could have, like, dealt with your chair. I think they had to. It's probably because they shat the plane down the entire corridor that it became a biohazard. Because now the staff can't move up and down the corridor without treading in feces. Now you can't move the trolley. Now no one else can get up.
Okay, yeah, now it makes sense, yeah.
And it's all fucking aerated and it's recycled air, so the whole plane is just like a poo tube now, a big tube of poo.
I mean, it's a fart tube at the worst of times. It's a fart tube at the best of times.
Yeah.
Can you imagine a diarrhea tube in the sky with diamonds? Diarrhea? Now there's a cover.
Lucy in the Sky with Diarrhea.
Ah, of course.
I don't know. Yeah, I guess I would have endeavored to try and contain the mass. Put your trouser legs in your socks.
In your immediate area.
Yeah, in my immediate area. Then I could have worn a sort of sleeping blanket sarong off the plane.
or at least use the vomit bag they give you.
Yeah. Cack in the bag.
You just pop it under there. You pop yourself over the vomit bag. That's what it's there for.
Shit in your own bag before shitting in someone else's. Do you think that she got that out and went, no, it says it's labeled for vomit? She really respects the rules. What was wrong with her guts that it was that bad and explosive and that she didn't try and deal with it earlier? This is the thing, Phil. Poo shame takes out more women than it saves.
Right, so do you think if she had the lack of shame of a man, she would have been calmer? She would have just slowly walked it over to the bathroom or plopped it into the vomit bag?
I think she'd...
Or just kept it in her
chair. I think she'd have exploded her ass earlier.
Right,
I
right,
think
right.
She would have walked up to the air steward at that point where, you know, where you start to develop cold beads of sweat on your upper lip.
The telltale sign.
Yeah, and you go, uh-oh, my lip is sweating. It's time to shit myself. And I think a man would have been more socially happy, especially in a country like America, to just walk up to a steward and say, I know the signs are still on, but you need to let me in the fucking bathroom. You need to do this now. Because they can do it. They just don't want to.
I know the seatbelt sign is still on, but if anything, that's just squeezing the problem and making it worse.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's not like, oh, someone shat in the toilet when the seatbelt sign was on. Now the pilot's had to kill himself. It's not connected. It's just a safety thing because there's no belt on the low. But you just have to say, like, look, feel free to say no to me if you're expecting turbulence worse than a plane covered in shit.
Yeah,
these are your
pick
choices.
A poison. Choose well.
I think a big, horrible trucker of a man would have done that.
Right, right. Whereas a dainty lady,
a nice lady who doesn't,
was too polite.
Yeah, who doesn't want to admit
until
that
it's too late.
Her torso is full of boiling turds. Doesn't want to admit that to anyone. Never mind a medium authority figure like an air steward.
Well, Pierre, do you know who does want to admit boiling turds to us?
The listeners.
Our correspondents.
Yeah, let's do it.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Correspondence. So how many planes have our loyal podbuds shat this week?
Well,
how many have they taken out the sky with their bums?
Email from Eric.
Eric, spell it out to us.
Eric says, "Dear Pill and Fier," that's a classic.
Classic is a nice one.
Sorry in advance for...
Oh, yeah? Quickly, listener Rebecca pointed out that when someone said, was it Philippines and Pierru?
Yeah.
They weren't going for Nauru, they were going for Peru.
Oh, of course.
I don't know how we missed that.
I think because the Philippines made us think of islands in the Pacific, right?
In that area, yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. We're growing. We're learning.
We'll read about Peru. Sorry to ask for a long email, but here are some highbrow and lowbrow topics I thought you'd be interested in. I'll start with a hi. I'm a long-term historian with a similar past to you guys. My whole family is from the US, but I grew up in Indonesia and then mainly Ecuador, and now I live in Hong Kong.
International man of mystery. Yeah. Eric, you dog.
Eric says, have you guys ever heard the term third culture kid? It's someone who grew up... Yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah, all the time. My book is often spoken about as a book about the third culture kid experience.
Yeah.
So, yes.
So you grew up outside your passport country or the country of your parents, like us. It's pretty interesting how many unifying characteristics TCKs have with each other, regardless of which countries they've lived in. I think that's true.
Yes, for one, the American accent, which we weirdly all get.
Yes, a slight twang or Americanization generally.
It's a wang twang. You get a wang twang.
It's also distinct from someone who moved to a new country as an adult, because moving as a child without agency has more of an impact on one's development. Also just cultural exposure.
Yeah, and it's also during a formative time. So those things mold you, those experiences.
They mold you.
Mold.
So Eric points us in the direction of the, I don't know if you know this, the famous Amazon review of the 5-pound bag of sugar-free Haribo gummy bears.
No, I don't know.
It's a very famous review about how much they made someone shit themselves.
What?
Yeah, oh, it went viral in like 2015, I think, 2016.
This passed me by.
Okay, do you think, to me...
This and the entire Twilight series.
Yeah, man. To me, Phil, this is old news.
Okay, okay. Well,
but do you
tell it to me with new eyes.
Okay, so and a new do you think mouth. It's worth reading out, this lady's review?
It is for me.
Okay, I'll do it.
Apologies to any pod buds who know the story well, but I don't.
Okay, I think this is the one. Oh, no, this isn't even the one I thought of.
Ah, there's a second Amazon Haribo shit yourself story.
Well, no, there's loads because, like, okay, so the thing with these Haribos is that they are sugar-free, right?
Yeah.
Or low sugar, and they're full of sweeteners, which causes diarrhea.
Oh.
And because they're Haribo, people are like, oh, there's no sugar in these, so I can just eat these Haribo by the fistful. And then they find out that that is not the case.
In the worst way possible.
Well, yeah, this is it.
Nature finds a way.
To
get rid of excess.
Maybe I'm thinking of the wrong thing. I'll put a link in the thing and people can read at their leisure, because it is very long as well, and there's more to get through. But yes, it's a good source of toilet related imagery if you want to festoon your mind with that. Eric says, I would be remiss if I didn't bring up a poo story of my own, sort of. Years ago, I taught English here in Hong Kong at an after-school tutorial center.
Ah. Yeah.
The center was located inside a shopping center.
Classic.
In a low-income residential part of Hong Kong. As such, the shopping center was not of the highest quality. Okay.
Hmm. Okay, I'm with
the
you.
The tutorial center had no toilet of its own, so we had to use the shopping center toilets, which I guess are just general public toilets.
Yeah, and in a hot Asian country.
Ooh, yeah.
It's not where you want to be, a public toilet.
Foggy.
I mean, it's not really where you want to be anywhere, but especially not in a hot, humid Asian country.
A humid public toilet is a terrible place. It's like the biggest version of farting in the shower.
Yeah, and you know the humidity in the air, those water particles, so that's the infrastructure to hold the stench.
Yes, exactly. The stench is...
It's like scaffolding for stench.
Yeah. The bum smell is riding the sort of molecules.
Yeah, each one like the end of Dr. Strangelove. Woohoo! Woo! Yeah! All of them just riding these stink... All the stink particles riding the H2Os. Woo! Like flicking their cowboy hats everywhere.
Red sailing right into your open nostril. So we had to use the shopping center toilets. The toilets were in a perpetual state of disrepair, with doors hanging off hinges, toilet seats missing, sinks occasionally ripped off the wall, and massive clogs that could only come from some kind of shitty gangbang, considering the size of the pileup.
Oh no.
You know when there becomes, like sometimes you walk in and there's like an island of shit coming out of the water of the bowl.
Peeking through, like the landmass in the origin story of an ancient religion.
Yeah, like a volcano erupted, and that's what we call the island today, is this new.
Yeah.
But it doesn't stop there. Between my co-workers and I, we've seen some shit, pun intended. I was once forced to retreat before ever reaching the bathroom door due to the extensive...
We've seen some what? Sorry, pun intended? I missed the pun.
We've seen some shit.
Oh, yeah, fair enough, yeah.
I was once forced to retreat before ever reaching the bathroom door due to the extensive shit trail on the hallway floor that had been smeared.
Sounds like a certain airplane lady.
Yes, maybe she was flying to Hong Kong afterwards.
her calling card. They call her the Trailblazer.
No one, it's not that we can't find her, it's that no one wants to follow the trail. It's very clever in a way. Due to the extensive shit trail on the hallway floor that had been smeared by a careless shopper's feet.
Is there anything more vile than like a shoe print and shit? It's worse than a footprint, I'd say.
Yeah.
Or is a footprint worse? Maybe a footprint. No, a footprint's worse.
But like, how much poo would there have to be for you to discern human toes?
I don't think very much. I think you only need like a bit of the outline, don't you?
You need an outline at the top, though. I think it's mainly the ball or the foot that smushes the...
I don't know if you've seen any of the sketches of Klimt and Schiele, but it turns out you need very little, actually, before you start to make out a person's profile. Yeah. So if they're a member of that school of art, then I think you only need a couple of ridges to figure out that it's a bare human foot in that
place. I don't like seeing it when there's a big trail of it, because that means that someone, like, maybe that, like, some, I don't know, some old person or some kid or whatever, just, like, spoinked their way through a fucking trail of turds for 10 meters before even realizing, you know. So Eric continues. Oh, sorry, bang the microphone there. Eric continues, I once opened a stall door to find a dollop of shit the size of a Ferrero Rocher sitting on the edge of the toilet seat.
Ah!
Just there, ambassador.
Just placed delicately.
Like a pillow mint.
With our compliments, a little piece of paper.
Yeah. I once genuinely watched the infamous cleaner who would often clean the bathroom while smoking.
Wow. Nice. I mean, that's one way to overcome the stench. You're just literally burning the methane in front of your face.
Oh, or it's like in war movies or some crime movies where when there's a rotten body, they take a cigarette out and snap it in half and jam it in their nostrils.
Oh, really? Did they?
Yeah, I've seen that in a film. Yeah, I thought, nice. that's clever. That's interesting. That's what this guy was doing. He would often clean the bathroom while smoking, dip his mop into a toilet to wet it.
No, Pierre, no. Oh my God, Asian toilets, man.
Oh.
What the hell? Why do we do this to ourselves?
Asian toilets except Japanese. How have they done it?
Yeah, it's true.
Is it that there's...
Well, that's why they... Well, they had to go to war with everyone else. They've always kind of been the odd ones out in that way, I guess.
Is it because there's no middle ground? It's like either it's this or it's like a robot cleaning your bum with jets of water.
Well, it just goes to show you how much the rest of Asia prized its freedom from the Japanese Empire. They saw... the toilets that they could inherit, and they still went, no, freedom is better. It is better to stand with a dirty bum than to lie kneeling with a pristine anus.
Yeah, that is the price of freedom. You can't have a robot clean your bum. I'm not sure how this was achieved, but my mate Fergus once went to use a urinal, and sure enough, there was shit in it.
In the urinal. I remember there's a shit in the urinal at my school in Malaysia. In my primary school. Went in to do a wee. Big old turd in the long urinal.
Okay.
Which is one of those long ones.
That's harder than in the individual shell.
Yeah. Like, what do you perch on? You're going to put your hand in some pee, aren't you?
Yeah, or well, like, you're going to end up smushing your fucking D&Bs up against the... trough edge.
Ugh.
God. According to co-workers, the women's toilet was no better. I didn't really get details because telling was embarrassing enough for them. But used sanitary pads and tampons were frequently found all over. I hear this a lot about women's toilets. What's going on
there?
They're actually
not as pristine as men imagine.
Well, yeah, we imagine a sort of, ba 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 da ba da ba 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 sort of
yeah,
water
sort of
feature.
Perfumed marble oasis.
Yeah. Whereas apparently it's like as bad as guys' ones, but someone's got a sanitary pad and fucking thwacked it against the wall of a cubicle. You know?
It's a different set of difficulties, I guess. It's Same problems, different materials.
Is it just something to do with shame or there being no bin and someone just looking around with their tampon going, oh, what do I do with this? Screw it. I'll stick it to the ceiling. Like, do people just flip no. out?
I think it has to be intentional. If it's on the ceiling, that's got to be intentional. That's a statement of intention. That's a calling card.
I guess in our heads it makes less sense because the people we're imagining going in and doing this are like people with office jobs. Whereas in reality it's like these are the loos in a decrepit shopping mall in a bad neighborhood or a tougher neighborhood than we're imagining.
I can't get over the cleaner wetting his mop in the toilet. that's so horrible. That's disgusting.
Oh,
man.
So, Eric says, it turned out years later that the head of the language center had a key to some secret staff-only toilets that none of us knew about. So they could have been using staff toilets.
The 1%. Mm. This is the 1%.
Anyway, I could probably get together with my old co-workers and write a book with all the tales of the Kai Tin shopping center toilets. I should point out that in Hong Kong, public toilets are readily available everywhere you go and usually in a perfectly acceptable state. Exceptional, even.
Oh, there you go.
Anyway, thanks so much for all the joy Bud Pod brings, Koji Eric. Thank you, Eric.
That is truly hellish. It sounds like the toilet from Trainspotting.
Yeah, yeah. Except the guy climbing in is the cleaner.
To wash his cloths.
Yeah, what is the urge to mark your environment with your bodily leavings?
I'll never understand.
It's a kind of protest. Like, we talked about dirty protests the other
week.
Yeah,
it's literally dirty protests against your own lot in life.
Your own
maybe.
Society.
Or maybe they just didn't enjoy their English lessons. Maybe just that.
Yeah, that's true. Fucking hell.
That's all the time we've got, unless you're a Patreon, in which case we'll see you in
the Chinese shopping
exclusive
mall.
Right, yeah. Or the exclusive language class.
Oh, yeah.
The exclusive English... Oh, the exclusive language class.
Yeah, at 5 p.m. Friday.
Yeah. I am on tour this week. I start on tour this week in Aldershot on Friday the 4th. On Friday the 15th, and then Aylesbury on 16th. But then I'm going all over England after that until October. So check out my website, see if I'm going to a town near you.
I'm similarly on tour starting not this week, but next week, I believe. Let me be sure about that. If you are in London, I'm still selling tickets like a dirty little freak for... my Leicester Square Theatre show on the 23rd, which would be great if you could come. If you are outside of London, I'm starting on tour on Thursday next week, Oxford, then Brighton, then Cambridge, then all sorts of things. And then just check my website or my Instagram for more. Thank you to all the Podbuds as well who wrote show me or show us underneath my picture on Instagram so that I had to put my bald face up. It was very good of you. It was very funny.
Oh yeah,
I'm gonna think of some more stuff like that.
Totally.
Okay.
Okay. Love you lot, guys. Okay. See you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.